The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
What is up, Eves? It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, 2/23/2022. Did you guys do anything yesterday for 2/22/22? You should so hit me up on Facebook at Exploring the Paranormal Perspective and let me know what you did. I was going to wear a tutu and a tie and maybe some different kind of shoes, tennis shoes, but I changed my mind. I didn't do anything. I was at home all day. What was I going to do? Entertain myself? Yeah, I guess I do that here already. Anywho, welcome to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. I am your host, Shauna. And with me tonight, I have Kevin and Paula Kelly for their part two. Now, on with the show.
We had a white noise generator on her old phone, and we were in the room and we were asking questions. And I think she was like asking, who is the child that's here? And right across the white, it was an EVP recorder, wasn't it? It was on the phone, I think, that we used.
Yeah.
And it came up and said, Freddie, like that. And she's like, okay. It just said, Freddie.
It said Frederick.
Frederick. Okay. Frederick. And her dog got scared. And it was really bizarre and weird. But if you watched on a digital camera, you see an orb or a ball of light fly from the corner of the room right into the ghost meter. And that's when it went off. And that's when Frederick came across the thing.
Yeah, that's too coincidental.
So she went ahead and did research. And that's when she found out that his name was Freddie. And he found his tombstone and everything.
Oh, wow.
There's more to the story. We had a grumpy old man living there, too, which is his father.
Oh.
Going to find out, back in the day, in 1898, I didn't throw this in here because this had to get to this part. In 1896. In 1896... him and his wife got in to do a disgruntled battle of didn't like each other anymore, you know.
Oh, no.
And in that time period, they didn't believe in divorce.
Right.
So he let his wife and the kids have the mansion. And exactly where my house is sitting is where he built a two-room shanty and he died in it.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
So one of the things that was really weird is they were having a birthday party for me and I was sitting at the dining room table. But this is when she was still married. And we didn't notice this until we actually looked at the photos after the fact. But there was a silhouette and you could actually see the face. It was the old man in the window behind me.
Oh, lovely.
And the thing is, she went ahead and got pictures and found out exactly what this guy looks like. And sure enough, it matched the one that was behind me.
Yep.
Oh, I bet that just made you
because this, you know, he
old man Kerner,
and he died in 1898.
I bet you that's his wife that comes down the walking down from the dining room down the hallway.
I don't know. I know that she likes to hang out at the plantation house. 1898 is when he died. She died in 1901. Freddie died in 1897, and Maggie died in 1908, mm-hmm. And then James died in 1911.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's sad. I remember Dave's numbers.
I'm glad you do. I don't know. But there was one time when we were actually at the house, and I started smelling old woman perfume, and it was coming from the dining room. It made its way down the hallway and then disappeared. I was like, you smell that? It smells all flowery or something. I'm just like, ew, God.
Yeah, but there was also another.
I mean, potent.
But also there's another tragic to the scenario of all this. In 1972, there was a tragic accident that happened in front of my parents' old house, and it involved a young lady in her mid-20s, and she had died in the accident across in the front of the house.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Her house is riddled with death.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Cecil Hotel. I just watched the episode on that the other day. That place is suicide hotel. I mean, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we would love to get in there. We're still trying to figure out how the YouTubers are getting in there.
I'm trying to get a hold of one of these YouTubers and find out, because I would love to go in there and have a little conversation with a certain serial killer.
Ramirez?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me tell you something scary about that. See, I'm not originally from Kentucky.
Oh.
I'm from Pasadena, California.
I read that.
Home of Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that.
I know all about those stories. He would actually climb into the windows and kill the women and then take off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said that he would come back to the hotel bloody, and they didn't think anything of it. Like, he just worked somewhere where, like, I guess he was a butcher or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And it was like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, yeah. That dude was crazy out of his gorge. There was nothing in those eyes. Nothing.
Oh, I know. They called him the Night Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was all throughout Pasadena. The Night Stalker. The Night Stalker. Wow. He attacked somebody in Arcadia, attacked somebody in Pasadena. He attacked someone in, I want to say, Monrovia. But yeah.
Wow.
My gosh. He made his rounds.
Well, you came all the way from California because of, it wasn't because of family.
Nope.
It's because you sing.
Yep. I wanted to, after I got out of college, I only went for like 2 years of college, and I'm like, you know what? This is just not what I want to do. I want to go to Nashville. So folks that are listening, don't do that. Oh my God. You come out to Nashville and it's like, it's a whole different ball game. And it's not like you're going to get in right away. Oh. You know, it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of work. I mean, I've met lots and lots of people when I was out in Nashville. I became real good friends with a guy named Junior Sturtevant, who was dating a Jennifer Stewart, who is Marty Stewart's sister.
Yes. Oh, wow.
So I became real good friends with the Stewart family. I met Travis Tritt. I have Travis Tritt's jacket with the frills from Can You Trust Me With My Heart? With Your Heart.
Oh, lucky. Man, he's a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was just listening to him the other day on television about how he wasn't going to stop any of his shows because of the mandates and stuff, and how he was going to, if they wanted to force the mask and everything, he was going to close it and go somewhere else.
Yep.
They're like, dang, Yeah, that's what you need to do. Put your foot down.
Yep. So Junior Sturtevant wanted to produce me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And things kind of got a little bit chaotic, and he was unable to because he's the drummer for Marty Stewart. Mm-hmm. So Marty was on tour, so it was kind of hard to, you know, do that, especially he really didn't have any downtime because, well, he's on tour. So I wound up getting mixed up with another guy. Oh, what the heck was his name? I think it's Bobby Spivey. And he's a producer in Nashville. And it was really weird when we had our first meeting and I gave him, you know, a demo. And he's like, okay, well, first of all, we don't need another Garth Brooks and we don't need another George Strait. And I'm like, okay. He goes, you sound like both of them.
Oh.
You kind of sound like Garth, and then you lean and sound like George Strait. We don't need another George and another Garth. We need something different. So that kind of discouraged me a little bit, but I wound up working with a vocal coach in Brentwood, Tennessee, and come to find out she was the coach for Jennifer Nettles. And one of the days which was kind of freaked me out is I was singing Amarillo Sky, which is a Jason Aldean song. And I kept seeing this blonde walk on by with a ball cap. Kind of short because, you know, the door was yay high and you got the little square window. And I see this person walk on by and I'm like, not thinking anything of it. After I was done, you know, knock on the door and she goes, my coach, which is Barbie, she goes, hang on, I'll be right back. And she walks on over and starts talking. Next thing you know, she comes on in and the blonde goes, was that you singing? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, wow. She goes, I thought it was Toby Keith. I'm like, really? Guess who the girl was?
Was she a little older?
Kind of young.
Oh, well, see, I was going for Dolly Parton, but that doesn't really match.
No.
No, I have no clue.
Carrie Underwood.
She was going to be my next guest.
So I wound up working with my vocal coach, and basically I wound up doing the audition for Nashville Star. And I was in line, and the girl that was in front of me was Erica Jo. She's the one that won season 3.
Oh, wow.
First season was Buddy Jewel. Second season was Chris Young. Third season was Erica Jo. And I made it to the regional finals. So sweet. I outbeat 22,000 singers. We did the regional finals at the stage in Nashville, and I got up there and with the band, and we did I sang Heartland, which is George Strait from Pure Country, and things are going really good until the producer came up to me and he's like, okay, you know, you're this close to going on to the show, but we got to make some changes. I'm like, excuse me? Paula just loves this every time I tell it. They wanted me to say I was part Cherokee Indian, and they wanted me to dye my hair blonde with blue highlights.
Wow. No.
And I was like,
he's Czechoslovakian.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going,
yeah, let me go ahead and lie to everybody. And
I'm like, what? I go, seriously, if you can't take me for who I am, then I don't want no part of this show.
Right?
I walked.
Good for you.
But,
Once you get that little fib out and people start seeing it, what you're doing right now with paranormal investigating, everybody be like, oh, he's lying. Just takes one time.
Yeah. But after I did that and I stood up for myself over the producers, I had a couple people that actually saw that. One of them was John Rich. And then
John Rich. Awesome.
Yeah. And I had another one that really liked me and gave me a shot, signed me to Mirror Image Records in Nashville, and I brought out my first album July 2, 2011.
Wow.
And one of my singles is called In America. And on July 4th, it played on 440 plus FM radio stations.
Oh, wow.
And I had a lot of DJs saying that that song should replace God Bless America by Lee Greenwood. I was like, oh my, seriously?
Wow. See, I don't listen to a lot of country, but I'm going to have to go back and listen to that. Yeah. Only certain ones anymore catch my ear because they want to be too rock and rollish, and it's like, that's not really country, that's rock and roll.
And my second single that went out was get you some of this, which is pretty cool.
Get you some of this.
I've gotten people that are not really country listeners, and they actually listen to my album. They're like, man, you know what, I like your album, but I'm just not into country.
I'm up for listening to everything new. I listen to a little bit of everything, from classical, opera, to metal and death metal. So I listen to a little bit of everything. Whenever you do go on your investigations, how long do you usually last on the investigation? Because I know there's just two of you. How long do you guys stay out there for? Sometimes. Who else do you go out with?
We usually have two cameramen to come with us. Well, here's this. Check this out. This is what's really crazy. When we did the first season of Paranormal Journey to the Unknown, It was our truck and a box trailer loaded with all of our gear. And we rolled up to, Jailhouse Pizza in Brandenburg, Kentucky.
Jailhouse Pizza?
Yep. Ghost Hunters was there before us. We're talking back in the days of Jason and Grant.
Oh, Grant, yeah.
So we roll on up, and the guy comes on out, Brian, and he's just like, where's the trucks and the vans? And I'm like, huh? He goes, well, first there was a couple trucks and vans and a crew that came out, and they did their thing, and then the next day the other crew came out and did the filming. And I'm like, okay.
Not them.
I didn't ask who it was, and he started dropping hints, and I'm like, oh, okay. So he's looking at me going, well, where's your crew? I'm like, you're looking at it. He's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah. We unload. Go ahead and set things up for the interview. Get things set up for the walkthrough. Build up base camp. Everything was all outside of the location. We didn't set anything up inside. So we had base camp outside. And I don't think we had a DVR system at that time, did we? I think we didn't have a DVR. No, it was straight up cameras. Okay. So we wound up setting everything up out there. We had two special guest investigators that came out with us, and basically we went in and we took over that place. So we did everything, the unloading, setting up, the interviews, the filming, the B-roll, outside shots. Then we did the initial investigation. Then we did at the end, talking about what we experienced, pack up, load up, out. And we are there for Friday into Sunday, right? Or the Saturday into Sunday.
Saturday into Sunday.
When all the other ones usually take a week.
Wow. So whenever you do your investigations, do you do your review too, or do you just go by what you feel at the time and put that up?
We kind of sort of talk about what we actually felt like while we're out there at base camp. You know, we had one guy, he was saying what happened. We kind of think outside of the box, thanks to this one over here. And we took a lot of slack on this one, but the place was hit. Brandenburg, Kentucky was hit by a tornado.
Oh, gosh.
And this is before the warning systems. This is back in the 1970s. And they had about 30 people had died because at the time there was no warning system or anything. It came up on them without, you know, any notice whatsoever.
Yep.
And it took out the courthouse.
Yep.
And it kind of plays when this past month when Mayfield got hit, which Mayfield is only 20 minutes from us.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know about Mayfield, Kentucky. It's been all over the news and everything. It took out their whole town square. This kind of, when I saw that tornado, how it dissembled Mayfield, it kind of brought me back of us doing this investigation in Brandenburg, Kentucky, because this same exact thing that Mayfield is experiencing right now is what Brandenburg, Kentucky experienced back in the 1970s.
Yep.
And there, but yet they had a warning system in Mayfield. The tornado shifted is what their problem was, what led to so much death and so much issues in Mayfield, because the tornado decided to shift it last minute that caused that mayhem. Mm-hmm. Brandenburg didn't even have a warning system. This happened during the day. This happened. They had the courthouse across the street from the courththouse was like
the beauty salon.
Well, you had different little businesses right there. And one of the businesses was a beauty salon that actually had the lady was in the process of doing another lady's hair when the tornado came in and ripped through the building and killed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You had the jail still stood. That's the reason why it's become Jailhouse Pizza, because the jail still stood. The courthouse was completely gone. The only thing you see now at the courthouse is they got a sign up where the courthouse used to be at, and the main steps that led to the main door. But other than that,
the jailer got killed.
One of the jailers got killed in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else. There was like three people in the courthouse when the tornado hit, because it was one of those days that you didn't have court in session. There wasn't a lot of people in the courthouse at the time.
Small town.
It's a very small town. But it was a county seat at the time. And so, long story short, within the strategy of the jail, you had a total of, within a half a mile of the jail, 32 people get killed.
Yep.
And the deal is, the legend is, and I had to straighten that legend out, because every research document that I kept finding, people kept telling me people had died in the jail. People had this in the jail, this and that in the jail. There was a hanging in the jail, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Every document I found where they're saying this supposed person had died, the supposed person had died there. This jail was the third jail that was built in that county. That jail had no documented actual deaths in that jail, because that jail was built after these so-called stories of these people that actually had supposedly died in the jail or died outside the jail. And I'm over here, this building didn't even exist when this happened, and they didn't even die here. They died somewhere else where the other old jail used to be at. And it proceeded on to where, and it is a sad story that I read, but kind of find out that where the baseball diamond is at the county high school is where the hanging tree used to exist. And that's where all the hangings were done. And where the high school is and where the courthouse and the jail is, totally two different ends of the town. And it just aggravated me. But everybody that has went there that has investigated, the owners that owns the building, all this stuff of people telling me they've had this experience. If they've had the old cell doors upstairs open by themselves, they've had sounds like someone trying to open the drop, because yes, there is a hanging drop in the jail to where they actually did hangings, but that it was never used. It was built to be used, but it was never used. And there's also been whistling and all that stuff, things that people have their names get called out. and all the stories and all the tragedies. If you go into the jail, they have a whole wall dedicated to the tornado victims. They have all the old newspaper articles going all the way down the wall and everything of everything that tragically happened in that block. Well, I did my own personal research and I came to the conclusion what they were experiencing was not anybody that was associated that had possibly had died in that jail, which I didn't have any documentation of, but what happened to the town.
Yeah.
Because all the buildings, except for the old hotel, which is right now dilapidated, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. And the jail are the only two things down by the water. Now, where this jail is, the jail is made, the bottom of the jail is made out of limestone. Yep. You have a limestone rocky area that comes down to the water. They are about 500 feet from the water.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I'm over here going, you used to have a courthouse here with a limestone basement. You had this whole building over here. You had the rock quarry on the backside at one time. Rock quarry went bankruptcy. And then you had this whole thing. I'm over here going, this is a feeding bath for what happened back in the in 1976.
Yep.
You have a feed bath. So what did I do? I changed the whole way the investigation was going to go.
Okay, stop. When we went in there to investigate, we didn't get diddly squat. Nothing happened until she said, you know what? I got an idea.
And here's my idea. We took a base amp and we downloaded a video file of a tornado twister. And we had put the tornado twister into that base amp. And we made that bass amp vibrate as if the building was vibrating itself. Mm-hmm. And we made it feel like a tornado was actually whirlwinding into that building.
Activity ramped.
Activity went crazy afterwards. We heard footsteps going up and down the stairs. We had heard like sounds like somebody was trying to like running, like maybe they had some people in the building that was running to try to get out. Mm-hmm. We heard voices. We've heard all this crap just started going nuts after meters started going off like crazy, all because I knew it was more than what people were saying.
Wow. I just got chills all over me from that.
And we got,
I don't know if y'all can see that, but I got,
we got so much slack on that too, because people were like, that was just so disrespectful and this and that. I'm like, it was thinking outside the box. We came up with an idea of what we could do to ramp get
activity
up.
Coming yeah. to show that there is something going on,
but not what was being actually told.
Yep.
Because I knew it had to be something to do with the tornado, not these two stories of non-related cases that didn't even happen in that building. It existed, but not in that building.
All right. See, that's where the going in one person's ear to another person's ear to another person's ear comes into play, because so many stories of, that's why I always think that urban legends and myths and all those, they come about for a reason, that something started it and something, it may not be the exact thing that's people are talking about right now, but like the Bunny Man in Virginia, or Crybaby Bridges all around the United States, or, you know, something has to, vampires, werewolves, you know, something had to happen for these legends and stuff to become what they are today.
But unfortunately, there are, say, like, I'm going to throw myself, I'm back in the 1800s. I have a house and something happened where the tree gets hit by lightning and I see like a shadow of, looks like someone's hanging, right? But there's not. I tell my friend that. They're like, oh, you saw something that's hanging on the tree? That was, someone died there. That goes and tells somebody else. And throughout the years, that story is going to escalate to five people being hung, two people died on the property, six got shot, And all of that, and this is way before a newspaper even existed. So basically, mm-hmm. it's word of mouth. And like you said, you're going from ear to ear to ear. The story is just going to escalate and change until it gets to the very end. And it's going to become the most haunted place. And by the time newspaper comes out, quote unquote, it will be fact because it's gone through so many people. They're quote unquote witnesses. Newspaper puts it in as fact and there you have it.
Yeah. No, that's why I like going to small, like not small places, but places that aren't really known because mm-hmm. once you get to those places, that's why I like home investigations. I love home investigations, especially those that are actually haunted. Mm-hmm. There have been quite a few that aren't, but yeah, aside from that, the ones that are haunted are amazing.
Yeah, we did an investigation. It was our fifth residential, I believe, and it was in
Grandview,
Indiana. Was it Indiana?
It was Indiana.
Okay, Grandview, Indiana, and the lady contacted us and said that they started experiencing some weird things. They just got this house, brand new house. What I think of brand new, but they just got this house and they kept hearing some noises. And all of a sudden they took a picture in this doorway and you could see this guy standing there with no head. So The husband was a cop. So he did research and said, come up with this whole story that there was a guy that committed suicide by blowing his head off with a shotgun. So we go in there and investigate it. Now, I'm not saying what they told us is the main thing that's causing problems because we went upstairs and I created this thing called the paranormal triangle. I just made this shit up. I put one device at the point, put another one to the other point and another one, and I had one in the center. And I had Paula sit in the center, start reading Bible verses.
I think something there was dark, and I really personally did, because when I was in there, the whole house was just a dark vibe, and you just feel the anger.
Mm-hmm.
You felt the darkness in there, and that's when I decided, okay, does anybody have a Bible? And I took the Bible and I opened it up and I started reading out of it and all the devices went crazy.
Even the Ovilus 3. But it was saying stuff like harvest, death, the moon.
It was like the one time you could actually probably trust the Ovilus that night because whatever I was saying, it was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a moan. We got a moan in the room. We got... It made my hair on the back of my neck stand up and I got emotional and I started getting to the point I was crying and whatever it was scary looking. And before we did the room, they were in the basement and doing an investigation. And I don't know how you feel about the Furby. We had a Furby, and you know, Furbies can be fun, especially when you're dealing with spiritual children ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, they decided to put the Furby down there because we're at the point we don't know what we're dealing with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have the Furby. Furby starts acting up, doing his own little routine of when you first turn it on, you know, hello, you know, it does its whole little Furby thing.
Yeah.
And the Ovilus says, human?
Yeah, because the Furby was like, like that. And see, it only actually activates when something is interacting with it.
That's right.
So it was like that. And it went, human? And that came across the Ovilus. And then it said, my name's Dika, because that's what we named her. Or what's your name? And then it came up, Satan.
We laughed.
Time to go. I was like, here to go.
And then that's when we went upstairs, and that's when that one room felt really, really, I mean, there was really like a darkness there. And I don't know what was in that house, because we were like, at the time, we were in, you know, this is like our second year into investigating. I could tell we were over our head, but we know that the story that they gave us was not what actually happened there. Right. I don't know what actually happened there, because every time I went to go look in back history of that house, I was deadlocked.
Yeah, you wouldn't find anything.
I couldn't find anything. Mm-mm. And the house was pretty old. I mean, to them, it was new, but the house had been sitting there for a long time. And I just couldn't get a lot out of information of back history, except for finding the old deeds to the house and who all owned the house before they did. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I could find on it. Wow. I couldn't find any stories of death. I couldn't find any stories of things. But only thing that did not make sense, which, you know, people flip houses all the time. People sell houses all the time. Yeah. In a 20-year span, that house had been sold 9 times.
Wow.
So is there a story of something there? I don't know. We never went back.
Nope.
And I'm over. But
that's the reason why we didn't go back. I gave that picture. That picture kind of really irked me, because I'm just like, maybe something is up with this. So I gave it to a friend of mine, Kenny Biddle, who went ahead and looked at the picture, and he's like, let me get back to you on that. He contacted me back the next day, and he said, dude, that's from a ghost app. He showed me the ghost on the ghost app on the website. And sure enough, it was a guy with no head. Same one.
Oh, what a piece of garbage.
Yeah, we didn't go back.
That's fucked.
I'm thinking that they did this because they knew who we were and what we did.
Yeah.
And I guess they were figuring that we were going to go ahead and put their house on a show, which didn't happen.
No, I wouldn't either.
There's something there. There obviously is something there.
Yeah, but you don't got to fake it. That's the problem with a bunch of people nowadays. They think, oh, well, I know there's something here, so I'm just going to do something to make it, because I can never catch it. Well, you know, that just destroys your, God, what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
Reputation?
Not just reputation, but your, the ability to tell the truth. We'll go with credibility. Reputation. Credibility. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah. After that, we really didn't do any more residentials for a while, because we were getting contacted left and right. And, you know, we had to go through a whole thing where we came up with asking questions. And I mean, it got to the point where we were asking questions like, are you on medication right now? Are you an alcoholic?
I honestly asked them that at every interview. I was like, do you take meds? Are you an alcoholic? Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to see a psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
Every time. You've got to anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the other things is self-inflicted, that it is something that's happening inside the house due to natural causes. You know, having hallucinations is due to high EMF. Well, what causes high EMF? Electric leak. You got issues with hallucinations sometimes with, you know, gas leak. You know, things like that.
Lethargic or headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Gas leak.
So something inside the house that can be causing
or
that.
Electric leak.
Huh?
Mold.
Yeah.
That'll really get you.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't want to hear debunking their property, because they want it to be haunted anymore. And it's like, well, you know, it's nice that you want the haunting, but at the same time, you got to look at logic and reality. I mean,
I will tell you about one place. I'm not going to say the name, but it's a particular basement of a place in Kentucky.
Oh, do I know this place?
Next to a railroad track and a lake. But down in the basement, where people have hallucinations and they're feeling lightheaded, there is a huge-ass transformer If you even walk near it with your cell phone, any device, it will fry it.
I don't know if y'all just heard that or not, but I just heard whispering while you were talking.
I think that was me.
You were whispering while you were talking?
Sibilance. I kind of got... I have sibilance with my mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was because...
Did you hear it? Yeah, it's like whenever I'm talking, I have sibilance. Do you hear the S's? S's? Well, we had something really cool when we started doing our own podcast. We interviewed... Doogie from TWC. And while we were talking to him, we heard a chicken.
Yeah, it was funny.
And I was like, Doogie, did you hear that? He goes, hear what? I go, we just heard a chicken. He goes, a ghost chicken?
I was about to say that. Like, a ghost chicken?
I'm like, obviously, do you have a chicken there? He goes, I have Tyson's in the freezer.
But yeah, we played it back after that night because I heard it. It was a plain old...
It was
a clock. It was a clock. And I'm over here going, why is there a chicken? And, and I'm like... And then we listened to the whole thing back after the segment. We rewound it and got to the point where...
During the commercials, we ran it back, yeah.
And then we were over here going, it's a chicken. We ended up sending it to Doogie before, because we were live. But we ended up sending that whole little segment to Doogie. I said, see, I told you it was a chicken. Yep. There's no button. There's no nothing we had on that one, but there was a chicken.
Yep, we heard a chicken.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's what, when you're out investigating, you get that occasional dog that's not, there's nobody got a dog anywhere near the area because you're in a city or
a cat. When we were filming the reveals, while we were filming sometime the interviews at the locations for Truth or Legend in your hometown. Mm-hmm. Like we went to the Candlelight House. I don't forget where the heck that's at. It's in Indiana somewhere.
Yeah, it's in Indiana. It's south of Indianapolis. I can't remember the name of the little town, but there is no electricity. There was never any electricity. Mm-hmm. No running water, no pipes, no nothing. Yep. It's just a house that was built that the only heat they had was fireplaces and
candles. Yeah, that's why it's called Candlelight House,
because it was run by candles and everything. And the old man that lived in there died back about 6-7 years ago. And all the way to that day, he had an outhouse out back, and you went outside and pumped your water out of the well. And then the whole house was done off of wood and candles.
And all of a sudden I come in there and we had to run power to 240-foot power lines from the next door neighbor, which is the one that actually owns the house. So we ran two lines into the house, and I electrified that whole house. I had lights everywhere. We had a fan. We totally electrified the place. While we were interviewing the owner, we heard somebody running upstairs. There ain't nobody there. The team was outside the house. So I kind of got up and I went and told them, I said, we got running upstairs. They're like, really? And they stood at the door and all of a sudden they heard it and they run up the stairs and they're checking all the rooms and there's nothing. We couldn't figure that one out. And then when we were doing the reveal, they had this old coffee grinder. We're talking huge where you crank it.
Oh, God.
She's sitting next to it. And all of a sudden the thing cranked. And we're just like, what?
I want some coffee too, but dang.
Yep.
Gosh.
There's just numerous places we've been. We've been to the Sweetwater Mansion in Florence, Alabama, where we were filming the reveal, and we heard a woman humming in the next room. We even heard a Bic lighter flick.
Actually, let's pack that track. We were sitting there doing the reveal with all the girls.
Yeah.
And we actually heard the front door, like someone had opened it and closed it. And we heard the walking all the way down the hallway until they went to the next room.
The other room.
The other room that was a kind of conjoining because it was one of those that would have the what do you call those doors that go into the wall?
Not the French door.
Parlor door.
No, there's a name for them. They go into the wall. They roll into the wall. Anyway, we had those. That was kind of what was separating, but they were open, and it literally sounded like someone was walking through, stopped, turned into that room, stopped at that doorway, and it literally sounded like someone had opened a big glider, and you have that, you know, you have that flint strike on the glider, and then you. And then you hear that click, like he lit something and he lit.
Closed.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like a couple of seconds later after that, we smelt cigarettes.
And then we heard someone humming. And we asked, and this is on our footage. So when we show the reveal, you're going to see us go, is somebody humming?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. All this stuff that we have when we're actually interviewing someone, they're like with the running up the stairs, that's all on footage. It's going to be in the show.
Well, you know what I wish people could actually do is feel and smell and see the stuff that you see whenever, because we went to the Sisters Tea House in Missouri. Oh, my God. The minute I went up the stairs in that place, I smelled cigar smoke. I mean, it's like strong as could be. And I'm like, okay, was anybody up here? There was nobody up there. We were the only ones there. I mean, it was a big group, but we were all down at the bottom. But I smelled cigar smoke and it was just really strong. But I was the only one that smelled it. And I was like, no, I'm not crazy. I smell it. It was right here. But it's like he walked past, or whoever it was walked past, and you get that whiff of the tobacco, and then it was gone. And it was like, oh, and I had my digi on me, but don't hear anything. All you hear is me going, do you smell the cigar smoke? I smell it.
Coming soon, Scratch and Sniff Paranormal TV.
You know, I wish. One of these days, we're going to do like a thing where you can do actually have a sniffer.
Oh, Lord. It takes me to the... Listen, do you smell something?
Oh, it's... Damn it, Earl, I told you not to go to the bathroom.
I mean, we've actually experienced a lot of crazy stuff while filming. Oh, man.
It's like some of the best times is in the interview portion.
It's when you're not really ready for it.
I mean, yeah, because we have done a lot, even with interviewing on all that. I mean, even not with just Truth and Legends, when we were at Malvern Manor.
No. I was going to say Old South Pittsburgh Hospital during the reveal. We got a freaking growl upstairs.
That's actually in the first episode that's already on Paraflix.
We heard a growl upstairs.
Yeah.
And then something moving. There was something moving upstairs, and then we heard a growl coming from the third floor.
Wow.
And all of a sudden you can hear the, he goes, that was a growl.
Yeah.
That was the investigator we were talking to. He goes, that was a growl. And we heard it. And I had to amplify it so people could hear it.
Oh, my. But sometimes you have to amplify those because.
Malvern Manor is actually when we
were filming. I cannot wait to go to that.
Paranormal Journey to the Unknown. See, originally we did our first season, which became an original series on Amazon. There's a whole story to that. Mm-hmm. But we only released like 4 episodes for that. And we filmed enough for seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
Never even made it to the editing table.
Oh.
I still have them. I mean, we're going to go ahead and probably put them together, but it probably will take a little bit because I've already got 4 shows to edit. I don't want to add a fifth.
Oh, I feel you. I got to edit all these shows that I've got backed up. Mm-hmm. And when you have a day job and you have a family, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
It's a lot to juggle. Yeah. But we went to Malvern Manor and it was just me and her. We didn't have our camera crew and we were filming the interview and we were talking to Josh Hurd. And all of a sudden here, and his brother goes, someone's at the front door. And Josh is like, I don't think anybody should be here. They went up to the front door, nobody there. And then his brother goes, I think it was coming down Shadow Hallway. During the interview, it's like, everybody just freaking up and leaves. And we're all going down there to figure out what the heck it was. And we couldn't figure it out where it was, but it was loud.
It was a loud banging noise. Like someone was banging on the door.
Oh my.
So that was during the interview. And then when we started doing our initial investigation with just me and her. So since we had Shadow Hallway, we heard a lot of stories about it. So there was a chair that I set up my full spectrum camera with the DVR. Wait, we didn't have a DVR camera at that time. It was a full spectrum camera in IR camera, I think. I stacked them.
Yeah.
And we were told by...
But we also had a DVR system there too. Because we
had did?
Because we had a DVR camera set on the base camp that was set up outside. Remember?
It's so long ago, I don't remember.
Yeah, because remember when we did the live, you set your camera up.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I actually did a Facebook Live, and we have a huge following when it comes to Facebook Live back then. And I was like, you guys want to watch the DVR cameras while we go in and film and investigate? People were like, hell yeah. So I lowered the camera on down and everybody got to watch the 8 cameras while we were in there. So one of the things which is really bizarre is we heard a story from Kenny. No, it was Richard Rose.
Yes, Richard Rose. At the time,
he told us there's a thing that if you go down Shadow Hallway, you're over there by all the rooms, the patient rooms. What you need to do is actually say code blue. We have a code blue. And if it's at the particular time or the right moment, you might experience something. We're skeptic. But she's like, okay, I'm going to go down there. I got a camera on her. She goes, we have a code blue. I have a code blue. All of a sudden, something ran down the hallway right past her. She said, oh my God, something just ran past me at 90 miles a minute. And she runs into me and the camera basically just goes everywhere. But I got the footage. You can see the shadow straight on down the damn hallway.
Oh, damn.
You can see it. It just zooms right on down.
Well, I know we only have a few minutes left. I want you guys to promote yourselves. Where can people reach you at? And we're going to have to do this again because I know there's a whole bunch more stories.
Well, we're hidden. We're not on the web.
Come here.
Oh, man. Well, you can find us on paraflix.com, of course. You can also find us on Amazon TV, Fire TV, Apple TV, Comcast, Google, you know. Let's see, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, where else?
Oh, geez.
I think I know. Them all.
We have a TikTok.
Rumble and TikTok.
No, I don't have Rumble. We have TikTok.
We have TikTok.
Yeah. So
you have TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Do you have Instagram?
Yes.
Yep. All you got to do is type in Gavin Kelly Paranormal in a Google search and enjoy the... I think the last time I checked, 13 pages in the search.
Goodness.
You can actually bring up stuff about our previous podcast. You can see all the radio shows we've been on. You can see reviews, just clips here and there. Oh, we're on YouTube. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you're on YouTube. I found that.
And of course, our main website is intheshadowsentertainmentgroup.com, or you can also go to phantasmicghosthunters.com with a P, not an F.
A lot of people would do that.
Yeah, they'll be like, how do you spell that? F, phantasmic, F A, no, P, it's fantastic. Never mind. Phantasm. Phantasmic.
Awesome.
How do you spell that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I ain't telling you. Right. Go Google it.
So, yeah, I mean, you can find us everywhere. And hopefully sometime this year, we'll be having season 1 and 2 of Truth or Legend in Your Hometown on Paraflex, Apple,
Paraflex,
Fire, all that good stuff.
You have four shows on there, right?
Truth and Legend. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Truth or Legend season one, episode one is the only one that's on there on Paraflex.
Okay.
And, you know, a couple months ago, it was actually one of the most watched episodes on there, which is kind of cool. And Ghostology 101 is also on there. But when we're coming out with all these other ones, like the Abandoned Paranormal Road Trip, this one's kind of cool. We actually go to abandoned locations all around the United States. Now, we don't know if it's haunted. It's just abandoned. But if we go in there and we're like walking around and filming it and we happen to hear something, we're going to break out a piece of gear and do an EVP session. And we're going to kind of sort of do an investigation, not a full-fledged, just a mini one. Now, this is also during the day, too. And we're
going to
see.
Also, the places that we're going to that are abandoned has significant history to those abandoned locations. Yeah.
So far, they've been movie sets. And most of ours so far has been movie sets. Like I said, we went to Spectre, which is the movie set from Big Fish.
Yeah.
We've been to the one for Salem. I ain't going to say where it's at because a lot of people want to go there. And the last one that we did was Patriot Day with Mark Wahlberg.
Actually
on an old Air Force base. So we got those three. And then we have Paranormal Journey, which we're bringing back. So this is all brand new Paranormal Journey. I'm not really worried about all the, you know, the other ones that we did before. I will do those later, but we did six brand new locations. And I mean, they are just amazing. The activity that we actually ran into. And these are places we went into where we didn't know diddly squat about the place. And then we got hit with a lot of stuff. And then Kentucky Haunts, basically, we're taking stories, doing reenactments to reenact the stories, and we're filming it.
Awesome. That is awesome. Well, I can't wait to watch some of it because I was actually going to go on Amazon and watch some of your older stuff that you already have up. But now that you're talking about other stuff, I'm just going to wait for those.
Yeah, I'd wait for the newer ones because the older ones I'm not too proud of.
No, but our Holy Grail is in our old ones, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our Holy Grail. Dang, I didn't get to talk about that either.
That's okay. We will schedule another show, I promise. I'll get you a calendar out there and we'll schedule another one because there's a lot.
We can go on and on and on and on and on. People will be listening going, would they just shut up already?
No, people love this. They love hearing about it because a lot of people can't go out and do it themselves or they're too scared to do it themselves. So they'll listen to other people's stories.
True.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on, Gavin, Paula. I really appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week.
Oh, we're going to try.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure being here.
Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And that is the finale. I want to thank Paula and Gavin Kelly for being on my show. It was very awesome to listen to their stories. I cannot wait to have them on again so I can finish listening to their stories because they have lots and lots and lots of stuff to tell. Next week, I have a true crime. What do you do when your child is a serial killer? Want to find out? Tune in next week, Wednesday, March 2nd. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on ParaXRadioNetwork.com. Hey, you may just find out. Thank you guys for listening. This is Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. I'm your host, Shauna. I'm out. Have a great weekend.